In the unpredictable world of fantasy sports, when all hope seems lost and chaos and confusion rule, one hero will rise. And change everything. Going42.com. Because no one remembers the extra point.
All right, welcome to episode 84 of Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Presented, as always, by TalkLoudRadio.com and Going42.com, live every Friday night on Facebook Live, Periscope, YouTube, Twitch. And now we are also available live on the new LinkedIn network as well. And, of course, streaming, as always, in the Going42 app for iOS and Android. All right, I'm here, as always, with my host, Mr. Ryan Searfoss. Ryan, how you doing tonight, man?
Fantastic. Glad to be back and be drafting now.
Yeah.
Got rookie draft, Devy draft done on another Devy draft and a startup. Getting to that time of the year. It's great.
Good stuff. Yeah, you missed the last show. It was a huge show, Joe's versus Pros. I know you had a wedding to go to, but we had an awesome time with some great guests last week. So some great stuff there. All right. Well, my next guest, he comes on once a year. And he's well known as being the Jinx. So we bring him on once a year. We get some predictions from him. They usually end up being pretty terrible. And it's not really that he tries to be terrible. He just is a Jinx. And so we bring him on once a year. But he has his own intro music. So I'm going to go ahead and hit that. And then after the break, we'll get with him.
He goes by many names. The Jinx. The Curse. The Kiss of Death. His predictions aren't always wrong, but they are never right. Going42.com presents, from the Talk Loud Radio Studios, Nostra Dumbass and the Worst Predictions Ever.
What is going on, Shane? How are you doing tonight, man?
Jeff and Ryan, what's up, fellas? Long time no see.
Yeah, man, it's been a long year.
We have some very accurate predictions from last year to go over, right, guys?
Yes, we have some great predictions to go over from last year. Just in case you haven't had Shane or heard Shane on the podcast before, let me quick give you the power of his jinx. I'm going to give you a couple of non-football related things that he's done in the past that have been kind of crazy. So back in Ronda Rousey's heyday, when she was, you know, kicking everybody's ass, Shane goes on Facebook at one point and posts that, you know, this is her last fight. She's going to lose this fight. This is it. The undefeated, you know, ring ends tonight. Well, she goes out and knocks out the person that she's fighting in about 7 seconds. So that's bad enough. The very next fight that she fights, Shane goes on and says, all right, I'm a believer of Ronda Rousey. She's, you know, she's awesome. She's amazing. Of course, she proceeds to then lose that fight. So that's just one of the examples I have. Another one I have is kind of funny, too. He, right before a game, I think it was Nationals and the Mets. Our friend's a Mets fan. Shane's a Nationals fan. Right before the game started, he bet my friend $10 in a Facebook group. He's like, I bet you $10 that Max Scherzer pitches a shutout in this game. Of course, my friend says, all right, cool, I'll take that bet. Literally, the first pitch of the game is a home run. So there goes that bet right there. So Shane is definitely a humongous jinx. You know, we've known it for years. We bring him on every year to talk fancy football. We hope that he doesn't mention any of our players because they end up getting hurt, which we'll get into in just a minute here. Shane, give us a little recap of what you've been up to. How'd your fancy seasons go this past year?
Well, our dynasty league, Jeff, that, you know, we're playing every year, that's been going strong for, oh God, what, maybe 5-6 years, maybe more actually.
I think the dynasty part is, I think, been about 4 years, but then the league itself has been going on since 98.
Wow. Okay. So I'm barely even halfway in, if that, maybe a third of the way in.
Cow.
Yeah. I didn't know that. What, pencil and paper? Is that the thing back then?
No, I think it was Yahoo's very first like fantasy platform. We were on that.
Gotcha. You're sending smoke signals on that.
Yeah, no, I, so myself, I started season long fantasy in high school. It was 2002. It was an NBA league. A bunch of my buddies just got me into it. And that's honestly, I was in a school library and I was like, all right, you know, I was just bored. I was like, let me look up some this Yahoo league they keep talking about for fantasy sports. I didn't know what it was, but I think the jinx might have started there. I'm pretty sure like I drafted like Rasheed Wallace. I think he ended up like spraining an ankle or something, long story short. But I think that's when it all began for my season long fantasy jinx. But but, you know, I think last year, over some of my projections from last year, but, you know, to be fair, Jeff, I will say there was a lot of injuries last year. It's kind of hard to call me a jinx when my players can't even get on the field.
Well, that's
that powerful.
That's the whole thing right there. Cause you're jinx. I mean, it's one thing to get players wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I was wrong on Eric Ebron. Ryan loved Eric Ebron. I was all about him just having a terrible year. I was wrong. It happens. You know, Ryan was wrong about Rojo. He thought he was going to be one of the better rookies last year. Rojo still was coming, no good. Man. But your jinx are like unbelievable. So let me go over some of your calls from last year. So first one on here, Joe Mixon will be a bust. Obviously, he was not a bust. Pretty good. Still not a humongous jinx there. But then you say Marquise Lee will have a breakout season and you love the Jags offense. So, of course, Marquise Lee doesn't play a single snap, blows his ACL out, and the Jags offense is terrible. Let's see what else we got. Hunter Henry. So we talked about Hunter Henry on the podcast. And literally, while we're talking about Hunter Henry on the podcast, alert comes over from Adam Schefter. Hunter Henry tears his ACL. Literally during the podcast, this happens. Let's see what else we got on here. Jerick McKinnon will be a beast, were your exact words, and I put them in quotations. Of course, he didn't play a snap either. He blew out his ACL. Darius Geis will win Rookie of the Year. Well, that didn't happen either. He also blew out his knee. He didn't play at all. Saquon Barkley will have an okay year, and Darius Geis will have more touchdowns than Saquon Barkley. Well, you kind of positively jinxed Saquon Barkley into a humongous rookie season. You had Jimmy G will be a breakout this year. Jimmy G, of course, last two games, blew out his knee. Alex Smith is going to ball out and throw bombs to Josh Doctson all day. Of course, you're a Redskins fan, so you had a little bit of hometown stuff there. Of course, Alex Smith, you know, tore up his knee. His career may be over. Josh Doctson, they didn't renew his contract, so he's been pretty bad. Then we had a buy low. We had a buy and a sell. And basically, you were buying Josh Gordon. Obviously, now he's out of the league again. You had Adam Thielen will suck. He will be the wide receiver version of Peyton Hillis. Yeah, that didn't happen either. And then we did a keep cut trade here. You had, cut Njoku. Okay, I can live with that. Trade
got
OJ.
One right, baby.
Trade OJ Howard. Okay, he got hurt. That's not too bad. Keep Hunter Henry. Of course, that's when he tore his ACL right after you said that. Another keep cut trade. You had cut Phillip Rivers. Keep Matt Stafford and trade Jameis Winston. So you kept the guy who had the worst season of all of those three guys there. So obviously, the jinx is real, guys. I mean, it's been going on 10, 12 years. I've known this guy for at least 12 years, and the jinx is actually real. So we're going to talk tonight. We're going to go through each and every of the teams here, and you're going to jinx somebody tonight. I'm sure everybody that is in our Dynasty League is listening to this, holding their breath, hoping you don't mention any of their players tonight. We're going to kick it off here with the NFC East because you're a fan of the Redskins. We'll kick it off with the NFC East. We'll start with the Cowboys, who I know you're a big hater of the Cowboys, of course, and you, of course, want to jinx them. But my question with the Cowboys is Dak Prescott, he will finish as a top what quarterback in fantasy this year? So we're thinking top 5, top 10, top 15. What do you think of Dak Prescott this year, Shane?
All right, well, all right, Jeff. So here's the thing. I did a lot of thinking today. I knew I was going to come on your show. And I could promise you everything on my life last season, last year, and I came on. Every topic we discuss, every team we discuss, I look at it from a statistical standpoint, a logical standpoint, but I got to give some of my opinions in there too. So let's kick it off with the NFC East. Like you said, let's kick it off with the Cowboys. I will say, here's the thing about the Cowboys. Here's the thing about Dak, and I'll be quick. Dak Prescott, everyone was giving him grief last season, like he didn't have that good of a year. But little do people realize he did complete about 65% of his pass with over 3,800 yards. And we have an emerging Gallup on that offense. Michael Gallup is a deep threat. And oh, yeah, by the way, they did sign Amari Cooper. And I'm pretty sure Dak and Cooper were peanut butter and jelly last season. I'm not going to go top five. I think that's a little unrealistic for fantasy purposes, but I will say he will have a top 10 quarterback season this year.
Top 10 quarterback for Dak Prescott. I'm kind of buying that. Dak Prescott wasn't a terrible quarterback last year. I owned him in a couple of my leagues. He had some pretty good weeks. He was consistent. That was his thing. He didn't give you those big week winning games, but he didn't give you those week losing games either. So Dak Prescott's not bad. I don't mind Dak Prescott. Ryan, what do you think of that call on Dak Prescott? And go ahead and give him the next question for the Redskins.
I love that call. I think Dak's a dynasty buy all day because nobody respects Dak for some reason. Might as well ask about your team. Who in the hell is going to be their wide receiver one? And what's that stat line going to look like?
Let's hear it, Shane. Who are you jinxing?
Like, that's crazy, man. Like, it's...
So I'm going to take the safe approach on this call because I truly believe this will be the case. I got to go with Paul Richardson. I mean, last year, obviously, we had an injury scare. I think he's going to be back in full force. I don't think we're going to get much out of any receivers this year because, in my firm belief, I think Haskins will be starting week one. I just think he will. The Redskins right now, as a fan, the number one goal for this team is to get people in the stands. And I'm sorry I have to think that way, but that is the case. I do see Haskins starting week one. I don't see us trotting out Case Keenum. I just don't think that's realistic. Colt McCoy, I think he's hanging out with Alex Smith with two broken legs between the both of them. I'm going to take the consistent approach. I'm definitely going to say Richardson. Richardson was a threat. Obviously, he's not on the Seahawks anymore. He doesn't have Russell Wilson, but he's a proven vet. When he's healthy, the guy's good for about 600-700 yards. We know that it's going to digress because of Haskins. He's got a rookie quarterback, but I can see that him being the consistent receiver that they're looking for. You know, obviously I'm not going to go with the Rook Harmon, but I'm going to go the safe call. I will say Paul Richardson, and I just think that's going to be reality. I don't think it's going to be close, to be honest.
All right, good call there. I think I actually would lean Doxson. I mean, I'm sorry, not Doxson. I would lean with Richardson as well. I don't know if any of them are going to be fantasy relevant, especially if Haskins does get the start. I don't think he's going to be great right away, but I think I will agree with you, unfortunately, that he will be the number one receiver there. But I think if I'm playing any kind of leagues right now, I don't want to own a single receiver in that offense. Only player I think I want to own is probably going to be Darius Geis.
You know who my QB1 was, right?
Who's that?
This shit. It's my rookie QB1 before the draft.
Yeah. Haskins, yeah.
It's Mr. Dwayne Haskins, man.
So you think he'll be good this year?
Huh?
You think he'll be good this year?
I love Dwayne Haskins. I think he'll struggle a little bit. Obviously, he's rookie quarterback, but he's really good at spreading the ball around. Those receivers are none are great, but they're all decent. So I think he can make, the best of it. It's definitely going to be a learning curve, though.
Yeah, I agree.
He has what? 12 starts in his college career.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a hard road for him, for sure. All right, next up, we got your rival Eagles, Shane. And my question about the Eagles is a question a lot of people have. Carson Wentz will play X amount of weeks this year and will finish as a top blank QB. What you got?
I'm going to say four.
4 weeks.
4 weeks. The curse of Foles is real. That's all I got to say, Eagle fans. This is what happens when you get rid of a quarterback that took you to the Super Bowl and won it. Sorry, that's reality. Good thing you guys signed Cody Kessler. Get ready for Kessler season 19. Not going to be good as Foles, because you know what Foles is going to be doing? He's going to be throwing dots to Marquise Lee. We'll go over him later in Jacksonville.
He's next still question. Stuck on Marquise Lee. All right, so if you're a Carson Wentz owner, you're happy right now because he just gave him 4 weeks, which means he'll probably play all 16, have 5,000 yards passing and 50 touchdowns. So good stuff there. All right, Ryan, what's the next team we got on our list?
We got Giants and... Is Saquon Barkley going to repeat as a top three running back this year? That finishes RB2 last year.
Well, Saquon can only go up, and we all know the reason why. There's no Odell Beckham Jr. Obviously, the passing game is going to regress a little bit. They're going to rely on the running game. Let's just put it like this. I was so wrong about Saquon last year. Saquon, I apologize, but I'm just going to tell you this right now. Geis, as a Redskins fan, I'm going to say he didn't even get hurt. He redshirted. He's a sophomore. That's all I got to say. We'll see what happens. Redskins offensive line is no joke, by the way, either. But yeah, guys, he finished like 1,300 yards last year. I got Saquon easily getting to 1,500 this year. He's only going to go up. Giants going to be a run heavy team, and he is what he is. He's a freak of nature. He's proven himself as a rookie. So what is his nickname? Say quads. The guy's an animal.
All right. Good stuff. All right. Let's move on to my division here. I try to be really careful about what kind of questions I ask for my team, but we'll start off.
Do you want me to start it first so you can have your team?
Yeah, go ahead.
What do you have?
Go ahead and kick it off with my team there, and then I'll hold my breath while you answer ask this question.
Oh, no, I was going to let you ask for your team.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You ask. If I ask it, I feel like it makes the jinx even stronger.
I know, that's why I'm doing it, because I feel like you'll do that for me. So, since we talked about rookie quarterbacks, where's Kyler Murray finish the season for fantasy QBs?
The whole draft thing about Kyler Murray, and people were, you know, really questioning if is he really a number one quarterback, and everyone's like, oh, he's too short, he can't see over his offensive line, this, that, and the other. A fun statistic, by the way, is I don't know if you guys knew this, but the last two quarterbacks we've had go first overall in the draft, Baker Mayfield last year, and then we had Goff in 2016, sat. So I think a bigger question right now is, do we think Kyler Murray is going to start week one? If Kyler Murray does start week one, I do think he might have enough time in his rookie year to get that offense down, but I don't know if that's going to be the case. So I will say, if he starts week one, he trots out with that offense, I'm a firm believer that unless you have a Hall of Fame QB like a Rodgers sitting for Brett Favre, I really think you're just wasting your time on the bench. You're not really learning anything. You don't have that mentor. So I will say, if Kyler Murray can start week one, get out there, you know, go through the learning experiences, I think he will finish maybe top 20, maybe top 20. But I think this is going to be a slow year for him. He's going to start off to a slow start, and then we'll see what happens next year.
I agree with that. I mean, but you don't think Brett Hundley's going to be the starter week one then?
if Brett Hundley,
I had to Google who their backup QB was. I didn't even realize it. I agree. He's going to have some struggles, man. Well, now you're saying that he might be. He might be one. Who knows?
He'll be a beast now. Yeah, I think the thing with Kyler Murray is going to be his rushing, you know, how much they allow him to run the ball. And if he is able to run the ball as much as I think he wants to run the ball, if the coaches don't hold him back, then I think he can actually sneak into the top 15. I mean, you figure, I think Derek Carr last year was a top 15 QB, and nobody thought he was any good. I think he may have been just outside of the 15, and he doesn't rush the ball at all. So I think if Murray can get some rushing yards in there, he might sneak into that top 15. And I think if I'm in a redraft league, you know, I love waiting on quarterbacks. I have no problem drafting Murray super late in my drafts and, you know, hoping for that Deshaun Watson, Cam Newton type rushing season that you got in their rookie year. So no problem with taking him a little bit, you know, late in redrafts. All right, my 49ers. I'm afraid to ask this question, but I figured this was the safest one since we have basically four decent running backs here. But so we got four decent running backs. Which one of these running backs, you know, Breida, McKinnon, we got Mostert there. We still got, who am I missing? Tevin Coleman. Of these four running backs here, who leads the team in fantasy points at the end of the season? What is the overall for running backs?
Well, Jeff, I'll give you my take, but obviously this is your team, so you'll probably know a little bit more than I do. I would imagine it has to be McKinnon. You know, bringing this guy in and him fighting injuries, I think he was supposed to be like their go-to running back. I feel like the Niners have always had this kind of system in place, but, you know, with Breida having that like incredible season last year, and obviously he was just flying off the waiver wires early in the season. You know, it's kind of hard to determine if McKinnon's going to get a bulk of the carries. I think Coleman is just kind of that filler running back. I don't really see the Niners doing much with him, even if they even keep him. I don't know how much his deal was. It was like 5, 6, maybe.
Yeah,
10,
it wasn't that
million?
Much. It wasn't
not
that
much, right?
Yeah.
It was low, but I think McKinnon's the only one with like guaranteed money on that team. So I feel like they're gonna try to, you know, feed the ball to him. In my opinion, I think they're gonna try to make sure he's like the focal point of the offense. But I mean, it's hard. It's a tough question. I think this is gonna be like one of the toughest questions of the night because I don't know what's going on with that Niners backfield. I'll let you elaborate on this. But if you want the true prediction from the Jinx, look, I said it last year. you know, when kind of had a slip up and forgot McKinnon got traded, but that's a long story short. I think McKinnon's going to have a breakout year. I think he's back from injury. And, you know, you got Garoppolo back. So the passing game is going to progress there a little bit more, too. But, I would go McKinnon here. I think he's going to end up being their number one.
Yeah, see, I think I'm taking – now, this is sort of in relation to fantasy. I think McKinnon is going the highest of the – of the four running backs. I think even Mostert gets kind of mixed in there a little bit. He had a pretty good season last year as well. But I think where Breida is being drafted, he's the one that I want. Not because I think he may be the number one overall, but I think that where he's being drafted, I'm getting him super duper cheap. And he had such a great season last year that if they do stick with him, you know, and he can have a decent season and stay healthy this time, I don't think he will give that starting job up. Now, I do agree that McKinnon, you know, he has a lot of a skill set that Shanahan wants where he can be the, you know, the passing running back. But Breida's no joke either. We saw last year at one point in the season, he was actually the leading rusher in the NFL. And then he just kind of dealt with injuries and never could get back on the field. But where he's being drafted, I think I'm getting him like the 12th round. And if I can get a potential RB1 for a team in the 12th round, I'm going to do it all day. All right, Ryan, what we got next for the NFC East?
Dude, I cringed when I read this question. How many games does Todd Gurley play, and where does he finish? Like that hurt my heart even thinking of that. I don't want.
All right, Shane, what you got for Todd Gurley?
All right, well, Todd Gurley hasn't played a full season since 2016, but to be fair, he only missed a couple games these past 2 years regardless, and he's made the Pro Bowl 3 out of 4 years. In my opinion, I think Todd Gurley is the best running back in the NFL. And keep in mind, guys, look, I'm a daily fantasy guy. Obviously, with NFL season and daily, I mean, obviously, it's a weekly sport, so it kind of goes hand in hand. But, I mean, there were so many times last year I'd play like the 4.05 p.m. slate, the 4 o'clock games, and if you didn't have Gurley, it's like this guy's scoring like 2 to 3 touchdowns every freaking 15 minutes. The guy is not human. I think he's going to be running back number one. I think he's going to be the leader in yards this year. Saquon will be close, but I just give the edge to Gurley. He did regress from 2018 to 2017, but I think he'll get right back on his horse. The Rams already have a dominant offense. Almost greatest show on turf worthy, you know. Bring out Isaac Bruce, Keem Warwick, one of those guys. Kurt Warner still playing.
Torrey Holt.
Torrey Holt, right? I just think I think he's going to go up next year, and I think everyone needs to get this guy on your team for those of you playing season long.
All right, so Todd Gurley still a top running back according to Shane. Knee problems, don't got to worry about those. Someone's mic is open again. I don't know whose mic it's. Someone I can hear feedback. There we go. All right, so with the Seahawks, the last team in the NFC West here, we've got a situation where their number one receiver from the past couple years, you know, Baldwin has retired. And, of course, we got Tyler Lockett there. They drafted DK Metcalf. You know, they got some guys like David Moore from last year. So my question is, who is the leading receiver at the end of the season for the Seahawks? And what's his stat line look like, Shane?
Yeah, I think this is easy, man. I mean, I think Metcalf even the best player on his college team?
No.
No. Yeah, exactly. So there's your answer right there. No, it's going to be Lockett. I mean, this guy is, I call him Mr. Consistent. 3 out of the last 4 years, he's played a full season. You don't see that much in the NFL these days. I don't think this is going to be even close. The guy's just there. I mean, he's a consistent receiver. He's already got the chemistry with Russell Wilson. I don't think there's anyone else on that team that's going to steal his targets. I almost look at this like a Juju situation in Pittsburgh. I mean, you know, Juju is like the only threat over there. He's a target hog. We'll get to that question later, by the way. But I easily go Lockett. I'm going to go the safe route on this question.
Yeah, of course, the big news break just recently is that Lockett's moving into the Baldwin role. So that definitely could help his volume, which he's never been a volume receiver, but he's been that big play receiver. If he gets the volume and can be that big play receiver, you know, look out. He could definitely be something special there. All right, Ryan, we're going to move on to the NFC South now. I want you to kick it off here. We got the Falcons for the NFC South.
What's your outlook for Devontae Freeman coming back? Is he healthy this year? How's he finishing? How do you think about him?
I don't know. This is one guy I think that's going to consistently be plagued by injuries, man. Like, this guy's a little speedster. I hold my breath every time he runs the ball. Anytime I draft this guy in daily, anytime I play him, when he goes up the middle, I always hold my breath. I think he's fragile. I think we saw that last year. Even in 2017, he didn't play a full season. He's got breakaway speed, but outside of that, I think I give him maybe half the season next year. I don't see him going a full season. And yeah, I'd say maybe 8 games max. I think we are looking at another injury here. And I think it's about that time to let him walk when it becomes time for him to be a free agent, which I think is this past year, wasn't it?
I think it's coming.
Yeah, they signed him.
Oh, they re-signed him. Okay.
You know what's crazy about him? Like, he runs hard as hell up the middle. Like, he runs like he's a 220-pound back.
Exactly. Yeah,
and he's not. Like, he just needs to know he ain't a big dude.
Yeah.
Huge fan, but
I've watched him a few times. He almost, like, seeks out the contact. Like, he could definitely, like, run away from guys, but he, like, looks for the contact. I'm like, dude, come on. Don't look for the contact. Just slide down. Get out of the way.
As a Redskin fan, we know who else did that. His name was RG3. I know it's a quarterback, but he decided he liked to run into linebackers. And
you mean my team's superstar backup?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
All right. The next team we got for the NFC South is the Saints. So behind Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, and Michael Thomas, the next best fantasy relevant player is we got Traquan Smith as an option, Latavius Murray, and Jared Cook. Of course, there's other options there as well. Who do you think is the next fantasy player after those three guys, Shane?
I got to go with my best value wide receiver from last year on FanDuel and DraftKings, Mr. Traquan Smith. Mr. Reliable. I could always count on this guy to hit value, and I got to ride the Traquan Smith train. I think this is going to be an up-and-coming star, man. Even as a rookie, he was able to play a full season. I think he missed one game last year. But 5 touchdowns for a rookie is not bad at all. Obviously, you got one of the best quarterbacks in the game to do it. But I only see this point get more involved in the offense. We know that he's a breakout star. I think he's NFL ready, and you know I got to go Traquan.
All right, what do you think of the Traquan Smith call, Ryan? And then give us your Panthers question.
I mean, I literally just traded him in my dynasty league like 2 weeks ago, but I really like him. I mean, somebody has to step up as that number 2 receiver there, and he has the best skill set. So it's not bad. I traded for Jacobs. It wasn't. It was like an immediate accept.
Yeah, definitely.
Next question is, how do you feel the number 1 receiver for the Panthers is going to do this year? And who do you think it's going to be? I think it should be obvious who it is, but how well?
I'm going to go for a jinx call of the night on this one.
Maybe it wasn't obvious.
and I've got reasoning behind it. My pick is going to be Aldrick Robinson.
What?
Aldrick Robinson. Hear me out. You've got a receiver who was able to catch 5 touchdowns. I know, it's just 5. 17 passes with the Vikings. With a crappy Kirk Cousins. Yes, I said crappy.
The Redskins hate. Not
perform in big games. I'm just going to say that.
Redskins hate.
No, not at all. He had to compete with Stephon Diggs and the guy who I thought was going to crap the bed, Adam Thielen, for these passes. That's all I got to say, for these catches. I'm going to go Aldrick Robinson. Hot take. Jinx it up. I don't even care. I'm going Aldrick Robinson. I don't care about DJ Moore. I don't care about Chris Hogan. I think this Panthers offense is going to regress anyways. I think Cam he's coming on a decline. And just keep Aldrick Robinson in your thoughts. That's all I got to say, because he's going to come straight off that waiver wire.
All right. Hot take right there. Super hot take. That's like in Fuego take right there. Aldrick Robinson is the leading receiver for the Panthers. That's a little bit too much for my blood there. I think there is some question there, though. I know you said it's pretty obvious, Ryan, but there has been some question that Curtis Samuel could actually be the leading receiver there because he's got a couple of years under his belt. I know Moore was really good last year and came on towards the end of the season, and I think he's the number one there without a doubt, but I never even considered Aldrick Robinson. I think they just signed him recently off the street, and I think he's more of a fill-in player, but you never know. We'll see what happens. All right, so my next question here is the Bucs, and of course the Bucs is all about the running backs there and who's going to be the running back. They all expected them to draft somebody or trade for somebody or get someone in free agency, and they didn't do any of the above. So who's the number one running back for the Bucs, and where does he finish among running backs in fantasy?
You know, I get a text message from this guy, Jeff, right here. Hey, Shane, are you looking to trade Ronald Jones? Hey, what are you doing with Ronald Jones?
I've been trying to get him all season from you, all offseason.
Ronald Jones, yeah, you keeping him? So
hold up, you're trying to get Ronald Jones.
I've been trying to buy low on Ronald Jones. Yes, I have.
You son of a bitch.
So
thank you.
It's only natural for me to say Ronald Jones. Is this the year he actually holds the ball? Like, he doesn't fumble? Is this the year he can catch a screen pass? I'm going to go with it. I still believe in the kid. I drafted him in our Dynasty League. I think, you know, bringing Bruce Arians in, I think he's going to correct a lot of issues, especially with Jameis. I do see this offense progressing this season. So hopefully the run game opens up a little bit. They can rely on the passing game a little bit more. I think Jameis had a pretty good season last season for, you know, the type of offense that they ran. But I think Bruce is going to come in and just make it even better. So I do think this might be the year that, you know, they believe in this kid, and we'll see what happens. So I'm going to go Ronald Jones.
Yeah, going to the your point about the Winston having a good, decent season last year for fantasy, I did a stat on Twitter that if you were combined Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston into one quarterback last year, they were actually the number two QB behind only Patrick Mahomes, and only by 20 points. So if you combined Winston and Patrick into one quarterback, I think Fitzpatrick on a per-game basis was the number two, and Winston was the number nine quarterback on a per-game basis. And now they got Bruce Arians, who loves to air the ball out. I think Winston is primed for a huge, huge year. And I wish they would have, you know, picked up another running back there. I definitely wanted to add him in my fantasy team, but I've been trying to get Rojo from Shane from pretty much the end of the offseason up until just recently, and he's just not budging on him. So it means it's probably gonna get hurt. It'll end up being like Peyton Barber or something. So I'll probably be glad that I didn't get him from you. All right, we're gonna move into the
co-host right now. As much trash as you talk on Rojo and my love for him, I'm so angry about it. But speaking of bounce back quarterbacks, is Aaron Rodgers this year?
Well, outside of dying in King's Landing for you Game of Thrones fans out there, I think he will bounce back, to be honest with you guys. A lot of people are saying they're looking to him to take the Packers to the Super Bowl this year. I don't know. Maybe they know a little bit more than I do. I think Aaron goes to these type of seasons, in my opinion. He'll have his down years, and then he goes on press conference and says, "Oh, don't worry about it. We'll make the playoffs."
Relax.
And I think relax. I think he had a little bit of a wake up call last season. You know, you guys might agree with me, maybe not. Do you guys think Aaron Rodgers is the most controversial quarterback of all time? Everyone's like, "Oh, he's definitely Hall of Fame worthy with the stats." We get that, but a lot of people are like, "Oh, he's overrated." This, that, and the other. Yeah, you know, he's king of the Hail Mary, especially against the Lions. But I don't know. Maybe you guys can disagree. I think he's a great quarterback. I think he will bounce back next year. I think I can see the Packers, you know, progressing, moving forward, going to the playoffs. Because I think he's a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. I don't think that's arguable. But there's a lot of people out there that are like, "No, I don't think he is. I think he's overrated." I'd like to hear you guys on that one.
I mean, anybody who says he's not a Hall of Fame quarterback is full of it.
Of course, I agree.
Second best quarterback of this generation. You can call him the same generation as Brady. Absolutely. Maybe a generation behind Manning. But he's one of the top five QBs I've seen in my life. A little younger than you over there. But, like, he's fantastic, man. He's won a Super Bowl. He's basically willed a team of scrubs most of his career to wins. He's fantastic.
Yeah, I agree.
Anything else is unbelievably not right.
Totally agree. I think he's Hall of Fame. I think the people that are saying that he's overrated are Lions fans, Vikings fans, and Bears fans because they're tired of seeing him beat their team. So maybe that's why. Speaking of that, did y'all see that thing that David Carr did on, I think it was on ESPN or NFL Network, where he gave his top 10 quarterbacks of all time and he excluded Joe Montana? That was just ridiculous. That was like, this dude, I even posted on Twitter, like, he's had way too many concussions or something for you to even put him in the top 10 all time. He said his situation was just perfect, that he had the right coach and the right receivers and the right running back and the right system, and everything was just perfect for him, and it had nothing to do with his quarterback ability, which is just crazy to me, because then he went to the Chiefs as a 36-year-old quarterback and led them to the playoffs too, and the Chiefs weren't any good either. So I just thought I would just kind of get out of my soapbox there for a minute on David Carr. So
wait, please tell me these two quarterbacks weren't listed ahead of him, because I didn't see the list. I saw the statement, but I didn't see the list.
I actually
did Terry Bradshaw or Joe Namath on that list, because honestly, I sock and dump serve the Hall of Fame.
I didn't actually look at the entire list. I listened to his explanation on why Joe Montana was not on the list. But now that you mentioned that, I want to go back and see who he had over top of Joe Montana, because it's just, I don't know, it's just ridiculous to me. Montana was the greatest of all time until Tom Brady won his fifth Super Bowl. I think Montana should have been number one overall up until then. So I think he's still at worst is number two.
I mean, Dan Marino, but it's okay.
All right, let's move on here. We've got the NFC North still. We're talking about the Detroit Lions next. And Kerryon Johnson, of course, had a pretty good rookie season until he got hurt. Is Kerryon Johnson a top 15 running back this year? He's currently being drafted as the RB22 on Fantasy Pros. So can he crack the top 15, Shane?
I think he can. A quick nugget for you guys. He was actually the one running back to break Detroit Lions streak of 70 games without a 100-yard rusher. Wow, that just shows how bad the Lions have been suffering at the running back position.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, this goes for any sport. You see it in basketball. You definitely see it in football. Anytime a team can find a superstar, someone with promise, someone with upside. I'm gonna go back to, I'm a Redskins fan. We did this with RG3. We're doing it now with Haskins. If you find that little bit of light at the end of your tunnel, you utilize it. You do everything you can to feed it. You want it to become stronger. And I think Kerryon Johnson is that running back for Detroit. I see him getting a ton of carries, and that's the reason why I say yes. It's not so much him having a breakout year. Stafford's regressing, in my opinion. He's on the decline, and they're going to turn to their running game. And I think this might be Kerryon's year. So with the amount of targets, handoffs he's going to get, I'd have to say yes. His usage is going to go skyrocketing. So I'm going to say yes.
All right. Yeah, I think I agree there. I think Kerryon Johnson, assuming health, I think can crack the top 15 in running backs this year. I think the usage that he gets, he said both in the passing game and running game. I think if they can commit to him, that's the question, is because last year I think he would have been top 15 if they just would have committed to him. But LeGarrette Blount had 125 rushes, something like that, and averaged a paltry 2.7 yards per carry. I mean, I think I could get more than 2.7 yards per carry, and I just kept giving the ball to LeGarrette Blount, which just kind of baffled me. But all right, Ryan, talk about the Vikings a little bit.
Okay. Oh, real quick, I'm saying I fully disagree on Kerryon Johnson this year.
All right.
I just want to throw out there, I think Patricia's trying to go the Patriots route and do RBBC, but we'll see. We can get in that another day. this is a guy who I'm a full believer in. The autographed jersey right up there on the wall. Does Dalvin Cook live up to that top 10 or end of first round, beginning of second round draft pick and be the running back we expect him to be?
Oh, absolutely. This is easy. This might be the easiest question of the night. Every time I try to analyze an offense, I always start with the opposing defense and ask myself, are the linebackers going to be pulled in? Are they going to be crowded in the box? Are they going to be, are they going to have to account for the passing game? Obviously, I hate bringing up this guy, Mr. Cousins, but yes, he is a threat, and they have two all-star receivers that are threats too. I'm not taking any talent away from Cook. He's an absolute animal. But when you put that perfect mix together, it's the same situation for Gurley having Goff in the backfield as his quarterback. It only makes them better. It's almost to a point where it's not fair because the linebackers have to account for both the passing and the running game. He's going to have an amazing season. He actually, a quick nugget for you guys, he tied in the highest number of missed tackles to Derrick Henry over in Tennessee.
Wow.
Last year.
Impressive.
I don't know if you guys knew that or not. So the guy is a freaking horse. Let's go back a little bit when you guys, I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank here, but we were discussing the running back in Atlanta.
Devonta Freeman.
Yes, thank you, Freeman. I wanted to say Coleman for some reason, but yes. He is what Freeman should be. He runs hard. Freeman runs hard like Cook does, but Cook is built for this, and he's just an all-around all-star running back. He's got an all-star offense with him, too.
Yeah, for both the Florida State running backs and comparing him there.
All right, we're going to do one more here for the NFC, and then we'll take a commercial break, and then we'll do the AFC. So going to the Bears, who you had last year as a 5-10 or a 5-11 team, Shane. I don't know if you remember that prediction you had, and you had Mitch Trubisky was going to struggle. And then I think you even said that every team in the NFC North was going to improve, and the Bears were going to struggle. I think the exact opposite happened. I think everybody in the NFC North regressed, and only the Bears got better. So with that said, if you could only own one Bears running back, so we got Tariq Cohen, Mike Davis, or the rookie David Montgomery, which one are you going to own and why?
I mean, I'm going to go Tariq Cohen. And anytime I'm asked this question, So running backs are a dime a dozen. This is why you don't see many running backs drafted till later, either maybe late first round, early second round, mid second round. There's a reason for that, because they are a dime a dozen. When I think of running backs, I want to go with running backs who have proven something to me. You know, I bring up our dynasty league, Jeff. I think you dropped Cohen, didn't you? And I picked him up originally.
Don't remind me, please. Don't remind me.
yeah. So I'm going to go with the running backs that have shown me something, because in today's NFL, we all know it's a passer's league. It just is what it is. There are those few all-star running backs, but the average to normal running backs, they're dimes a dozen. And I'm going to go with a running back that has proven something to me. So to play it safe, I'm going to go Cohen.
Just to explain that, why I dropped Tariq Cohen. People are like, why'd you drop Tariq Cohen? What are you, crazy? All right, so this was his rookie season. I drafted Tariq Cohen in the fifth round of our rookie draft. He was a nobody. I just drafted him. He was doing good in camp. I took a flyer on him. This was the year that the hurricane hit in Miami, and the I think it was the Bucks and the Dolphins game, I believe, is who weren't they didn't play the game in week one. And I own Jameis Winston, and I own Mike Evans, and I own somebody else from that game as well. So I had to add somebody to my team. So I'm looking at my roster. I'm like, all right, I got this rookie that I got in the fifth round of our rookie draft. The chances of him having a good game in week one of the NFL is probably slim to none. I'm going to drop him, pick up somebody to replace Mike Evans in my lineup, and then I'll just add Tariq Cohen back after the first week. Tariq Cohen goes out and has a great week one. Shane picks him up off the waiver wire because his team is terrible. He's always the number one waiver wire pick in our league. So he gets the waiver wire pick, and the rest is history. I lost Tariq Cohen, so I was pretty pissed about that. But just to explain that, I don't want people to think that I'm going crazy here and I'm dropping Tariq Cohen in Dynasty League, so that just wouldn't make any damn sense. All right, we're going to do the AFC right after the break here. So a word from our sponsors, guys, and then we'll be right back.
Fantasy football. It's not just a social interaction anymore. Today's manager plays to win, and the difference between winning and losing is so small, a manager will do whatever it takes to get an edge. Yet the other sites offer the same content at an extremely high cost. It's time to get away from the old and step into the future of fantasy stats. This is StatRoute. StatRoute allows you to find any data set for any player or team in 7 seconds or less, all on a simple, easy-to-use application. Want to see which running back performed best in the snow last season? How about the past 5 seasons? And in the fourth quarter? Or maybe you're unsure of which quarterback to start for the upcoming week. With our StatsIP technology, you can now quickly see how Matt Stafford has performed in the rain, during the second half of the season, in New York, compared with how Russell Wilson has played during primetime games, at home, versus the Rams' new defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips. At StatRoute, it's our mission to deliver state-of-the-art technology guaranteed to keep you ahead of the curve. So, whether you're a casual football fan, a weekly fantasy trash talker, or a DFS hustler, we've got you covered. Welcome to the new standard for stats delivery. We are StatRoute. Take back your lead.
All right, guys, welcome back. I'm here with my co-host Ryan and, of course, the Jinx himself, a.k.a. Nostra Dumbass, Mr. Shane. And we are talking basically predictions for every NFL team in the league, and we are on the AFC East now. So a team that is very hard to jinx. No matter how hard you try, the Patriots just seem to overcome everything. So, Shane, my question to you is the number two pass catcher, which includes tight ends and running backs. So the number two pass catcher in the Patriots offense this year will be who and why?
I mean, you got to go with the rookie, N'Keal Harry. I'm pretty sure he's already in Belichick's laboratory getting microchipped in his neck to fit that offense that, you know, that system quarterback runs over there. So, I'm going to have to go to N'Keal Harry. I don't think it's going to be close. I mean, Belichick literally just brings in bums off the street and somehow makes them all stars. And the only receiver that I thought was going to have a breakout year last year, Josh Gordon, is too busy smoking marijuana to even succeed in it. I mean, you have to really try hard to not succeed in this offense. You just do. So I'm going to go to N'Keal Harry and yeah.
All right, N'Keal Harry. So not going with James White, the running back, or their tight end. What is it, Austin Seferian Jenkins? So I think N'Keal Harry. I think he got a pretty good chance to be the number two there. I think that without Gronkowski there, there's targets going to be going elsewhere, and I think N'Keal Harry sort of fits that, you know, that mold there where they can actually use him. I think it's the first time that Bill has taken a quarterback this early in his entire tenure. I think in the first round. So I think N'Keal Harry is set up for success there. All right, Ryan, the next one we got on here is the Jets, and they've been kind of in the news lately with some firings, and the coach didn't want to sign Le'Veon Bell. So this question takes a little bit more weight now. What you got?
Is Le'Veon Bell going to stay on the Jets, and where does he finish as a fantasy running back?
Absolutely not. I think Le'Veon, I mean, look, and I'm not going off emotions here. I think the worst move Le'Veon could have ever made was going on Twitter and writing all his tweets upside down, or typing all his tweets and upside down. I don't know if you guys saw, I mean, obviously you guys heard about that. All his tweets, the letters were upside down because he was trying to send messages. He's trying to make everything about himself. There was another receiver the Steelers used to have that kind of made things all about himself as well. I guess we'll get to him later. But anyways, no, I don't see this lasting. I think Le'Veon's going to go in there. He's going to complain after the third week, maybe fourth week, when the Jets are 0-4, because they're going to absolutely stink this year. And he's going to demand something. He's going to either demand and release. And actually, I really think the Jets fired their GM because they picked up Le'Veon Bell. I think he's a cancer to any football team that's out there. I think this is going to be like mixing what is it? Oil and vinegar and water, whatever it is. I'm not a scientist. You guys know what I mean. But all I gotta say is this is gonna absolutely backfire, and I think Le'Veon's gonna be out probably within the first 4 to 5 weeks. This is gonna be a disaster. Jets fans, you might as well just cancel your season ticket. Your coach has like googly eyes. He can't even look in a straight line. It's over. Jets fans, just hang it up.
How did they let Gase trick them into making him the GM as well as a catch?
It's unbelievable.
That's the question that should have been asked. Nothing makes sense in this world.
There's a quote, can sign two contracts at once.
There's a quote that I'm going to use from one of my favorite movies. The greatest trick the Denver ever pulled is convincing the world he didn't exist. And that's what Adam Gase has done to the Jets. He basically just tricked them into thinking that he's actually a good coach, and now he's actually the acting GM, which is, you know, just crazy to me. And I do think Le'Veon Bell stays with New York. I think he has no choice at this point, because, I mean, when the Jets, you know, signed him, they kind of bid against themselves because no other team actually bid for Le'Veon Bell. So if no one bid for him, no one's trying to trade for him either. I do think it'll be a shit show if the Jets do come out and struggle, and maybe Gase doesn't give Le'Veon Bell the ball as much as he wants them to get the ball. And then, you know, he starts complaining in the media. And, of course, New York is New York, and that's like, you know, media hell right there. And if you're on the bad side of that, then you basically get eaten alive. So that could be a shit show all year. So I'm curious to see how that goes. Yeah, I do as well. I want to see a shit show in New York. So
I root for chaos basically anywhere but Baltimore. It's the best.
All right. So my next question here is going to the Dolphins here. And it's basically based on their quarterback. Of course, they signed Fitzmagic and then went out and traded for Josh Rosen. So the Dolphins week one starting quarterback is who, and how many games do they play this year, Shane?
It's very bold of you, Jeff, to use the word Fitzmagic, because we all know Fitzmagic turned into Fitztragic. Look, Ryan Fitzpatrick is what he is. He's a journeyman. He comes in, gives you false hope, and then he shows his true colors. He rears his ugly beard, and he's a below average quarterback. It's just what he is. So they would be absolute idiots not to start Rosen. I think Rosen, he needs a shot. He needs a fair chance to prove himself. And I think the Dolphins are the perfect team to give him that shot. I don't believe in what Arizona did to him. I'm a firm believer in this kid. And to start Fitzpatrick over Rosen is going to kill his confidence. And if Miami decides to bring him in week four, week five, I think his confidence is already going to be shot, because I got Miami maybe winning 5 games this year, maybe 6. So just to kill his confidence when he already got screwed over, I'm just I feel bad for the kid, but they have to start They have to start Rosen. You cannot start a journeyman. You cannot start a journeyman week one. And as a Redskins fan, I'm saying this. Case Keenum is a journeyman. I don't want to see Case Keenum starting week one. It just is what it is. So I'm all aboard the Rosen train.
All right. Yeah, I've given
95% of what you said.
Go ahead.
I agree with everything you said there. I think Rosen's their future. You have to let him start week one. He's already has playing time under his belt. Only thing I don't agree with is you saying about Fitzmagic's beard being bad. That thing is beautiful and glorious. The rest of that is all right.
I've actually renamed. So they got, you know, of course, Fitzmagic, Fitztragic when he's been bad. I've actually renamed him. If you saw the picture recently in social media, how much weight he's gained, I'm calling him Fitzfattrick right now because he's gained about at least 40 pounds in the offseason. So
I did not see that.
Yeah, just Google Fitzpatrick fat and you're going to get that picture up on your screen because he's just gained like 30 pounds in the offseason. He looks terrible.
Oh, God.
All right, to finish off. Oh, wait, actually, yeah, to finish off the AFC East, we got the Bills. Mr. Ryan, what you got for the Bills?
Who's their starting running back, and what kind of production are we seeing out of them?
Josh Allen. He's going to be a quarterback and a running back. I mean, this kid's hurtling, what was it, linebacker last season?
Yeah, very stupidly.
They should just have him do it all, in my opinion. But no. This is actually going to be a kind of a funny take because I think the Bills are going to be a complete joke this season like they usually are. Sorry, Bills fans. I know Tim's watching right now. Sorry, Tim. He is an actual New Yorker. He has every right to cheer for the Bills, but this is going to be a kind of a funny take, and I'm basing this off comic books. So great, I'm going to go Shady McCoy, and the reason everything about Marvel. I hate Avengers. I think it's for children of the age of 7. Shady went on Twitter right after watching Endgame, the new Avengers movie, and he spoiled the ending for everyone. If you follow Shady, which I do, so many people got butthurt about it, and I think it's the best thing ever because I hate everything Marvel. I'm going to go Shady, and he's pretty fast too. So, yeah, I'll go Shady.
All right, Shady, going Shady, and because of Marvel as well. I mean, you just look at how big that Marvel franchise is, and you know that Shane's not a fan of them, and the DC franchise has been struggling because he's a huge fan of the DC. So that's another example of the jinx right there as well. All right, we're moving on here to the
Ryan Fitzpatrick's body is similar to mine. That's not good for business.
Not good at all. Yeah, you saw it.
Not good at all. You should go try out.
Go try out. There you go.
I don't have the beard, probably.
All right, let's move on to the AFC West. And I know Shane, a friend of ours that we actually played basketball with today, is a huge fan of this team, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. So assuming that Tyreek Hill doesn't play this season, the number 3 pass catcher behind Kelce and Watkins is who and why?
Well, realistically, I just want to say it's going to be Mahomes because we've seen pretty much this kid do everything but throw the ball to himself. an actual stat for you guys, the only player in history of being an athlete is Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig himself, WWE superstar, that once threw a football in a gym up in the air, ran about 75 yards and caught it. I don't think anyone will ever do that, but Mahomes might be close at this point. But for the better answer, the more safe answer, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say DeMarcus Robinson. I think this is a tough question to me because I'm looking at the receiving in the depth chart, but I think he's the only one I can actually trust that played last season that will get a bulk of the usage in that offense. I really feel this is one of those teams, and I'm going to compare them to like the Steelers. I gotta compare them to the Steelers because Juju is going to own that offense, and Kelsey's going to own this offense with Watkins up there. Obviously, Tyreek Hill, and then you got those, you know, those like other receivers, slot receivers that show up every once in a while when Mahomes is spreading the ball around. But I'm gonna say DeMarcus Robinson. This is a coin flip. There's not much to work off here. He had like 250 yards last season.
What about the rookie Mecole Hardman that they drafted to be the Tyreek Hill clone?
Like I said, I don't ever gamble on rookies unless they have that player spotlight, unless they shine. Like when I gambled on Geis, I know I'm a Redskins fan, then I might have belief in them. But when I come to the dark horses, it's hard to predict that. And even my Jinx powers can't, you know, go that deep. But I'm going to go with a safe answer. I'm trying things a little differently this season. All right, I'm keeping my hot takes to a minimum. This isn't an Aldrick Robinson situation in Carolina. I'm going to say DeMarcus Robinson just because he's been proven in this offense before.
All right. Good stuff. All right. Ryan, what you got? What's the next team on the list there?
We kind of mentioned it earlier when we were talking about Lev Bell, and can't talk about Le'Veon Bell without talking about Antonio Brown. Where is he finishing fantasy this year? Is he going to be one of the better values in drafts up in the second round, or where we see him going and doing?
I'm a firm believer in the Madden curse. Obviously, the Madden curse struck very hard last season. If anything, he's going to regress. I think his best situation was with Big Ben. I mean, let's be honest. He went from a veteran Super Bowl winning quarterback. He's made the Pro Bowl 4 out of the last 5 seasons.
Just
he's made for, the Pro Bowl
through for 5,000 yards this past season.
Right. I mean, he's leaving a situation that so many receivers would die to be in, and things are not going to get better. I think you have an actual nutcase who believes in himself so much that he can perform anywhere. I hate switching the topic to NBA. LeBron kind of thought the same thing, and then he went to LA, and they absolutely sucked. And I think this is going to be the same situation. You're going to a crappy Raiders team. Gruden's not the answer. Carr sucks. This whole team sucks. They got rid of Khalil Mack. Who does that? I mean, this whole organization is a complete joke. It's an absolute joke. And as a Redskins fan, I'm actually happy that there's a franchise more dysfunctional than us.
All right. Good stuff there. All right. So the next one I got on my list here is the Chargers, the LA Chargers. So the player that's going to lead the team in receiving touchdowns this season is who? And the options, of course, are Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry coming back from injury, Mike Williams, and of course the running back Melvin Gordon is actually a really good receiver at the backfield as well. So who leads the league, or who leads their team in receiving touchdowns this year?
Oh, it's Keenan Allen. I mean, this is not even going to be close. He was a target hog. When I speak of teams and target hogs, I think of the Juju's. I'm sorry, I got to keep bringing Juju up, but that's just the case. Keenan Allen had 136 targets. The second leader in targets was Melvin Gordon. He's the running back in pass targets. That just goes to show who really dominates this offense. It is what it is. Keenan Allen, he's a Pro Bowler. You know, you've got to utilize what you have. And it's funny how like today's NFL is panning out. It really is, because usually you've got that really good core, and some teams still do. I'll bring up Dallas. They got Gallup and Amari Cooper, you know, two solid receivers, but you're getting to where you have these teams that have like that one all-star and that's it. And then you got your like fill-ins. And these are usually the successful offensive teams. So I'm going to go Keenan Allen. It's not going to be close. His targets are just way up there. He's going to have a dominant year like he did last year.
All right, good stuff there. And everybody's kind of talking about it on social media right now. We got a couple comments about the Jinx having a black cat that's kind of walking around in the background there. How that should be perfect there, the perfect irony right there. All right, we got one last team in the AFC West. Ryan, what you got for the Broncos?
Does Joe Flacco make it through the season, and is he still stutter by week 10?
You know, this is a funny story, Ryan, because you should be thanking the Jinx right now, because Jeff remembers, was it 2012, Jeff? I think it was 2012 when our buddy Mel, who's a huge Broncos fan, I was yes. Like, oh, the Broncos got this in the bag. It's over. And then Flacco, this is the playoff game. Flacco just literally, like, it was a floater of a touchdown, and the Ravens ended up coming back winning that game. I think they went on to win the Super Bowl that year, right?
Yes,
they beat your Niners, yep, Jeff?
Yes, they beat your did. Niners, they right? Yes, they did.
Niners even tried to make the stadium black out and still couldn't pull it out.
That's right. I jinxed two of my friends in one season. That was great.
Yeah.
Well, the worst thing Jeff did was invite me to a Super Bowl party. But well, yeah, that was another.
And then drove you home, too. I had to drive home with your ass. That was the worst.
That's right. I forgot about that. But I think Flacco makes it possibly to week 7. And I think they're gonna bring in Locke. You know, Elway, you're looking at a Hall of Fame quarterback. Flacco will be below average. This team's going to struggle hard, by the way. And then Elway is going to look to the future. He's going to bring in Drew Lock and see what the kid has. But I can tell you right now, Denver, I mean, I'm thinking of Keenum. I'm thinking of Lynch. I'm thinking of Simeon. I'm thinking of Osweiler. They need to figure this out. This is becoming embarrassing. They're about to make a longer list than the Redskins have had in recent years of the amount of quarterbacks these guys have had. So they need to figure this out.
Elway might need to be gone.
Elway needs to come back and play.
I mean, he might be the best quarterback they've had.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
For sure.
I mean, I'm talking about like better than the ones he's brought on currently in his state of life.
Yeah.
Not all time.
Yeah. He could jump in there right now and be better than most of those guys. And I can definitely attest to that jinx that Shane's talking about with that Broncos Ravens game. He literally sent it in a text message. Congrats, Mel. Your team's going to the Super Bowl. And then right after that, Joe Flacco drops a bomb for the win. That was just insane. And I don't think Mel's talked to Shane ever since. So, all right. Going on to the NFC South now. Ryan, you can kick this division off here with the Colts. Go ahead and ask the question.
Who's the Colts' number two receiver this year behind T.Y. Hilton? We got Paris Campbell, Deion Kane, Devin Funchess, tight ends. Who's their number two receiver?
I think Campbell's going to have a great year as a rookie, but I'm going to go with the safe route, and I'm going to go Funchess. You know, he wasn't really a spark in Carolina. He was there when you needed him, but I think his size alone, is going to be what the Colts need. I can see, obviously, Andrew marches that team downfield consistently. I mean, him and T.Y. alone, you get the job done. But I think Funchess is going to be that guy that they're looking for on the fade route in the end zone, red zone type of receiver. So I'm going to go Funchess. I think the Colts will be able to utilize him a little bit better than the Panthers do. I feel like when the Panthers get down to the red zone, the ball's kind of in Cam's hands, and he's more, you know, he scrambles or running himself. And Andrew, you know, will throw a dot right to Funchess if you need to do that little fade route. Just his size and height alone, I think, is going to propel him up to be their number two.
All right, good stuff here. Sticking with the AFC South, we're going to go to the Houston Texans and a receiver that's been really, really good when he's on the field and been, of course, injured a lot. That's Will Fuller. He plays how many games this year and finishes as the wide receiver what in fantasy?
Man, this guy cannot stay healthy, man. He just cannot stay healthy. I'm sorry, guys, but look, I know what it's like to cheer for a player when they're coming off of ACL surgery. I'm going to give him maybe 5 weeks this year. He's a train wreck. You cannot rely on this guy. They've got Hopkins, man. I understand you want to build a dominant receiving core. He's definitely a special talent. The man's got crazy speed, but the NFL is not for him, man. I mean, he's fragile. I don't see him getting the job done. I give him 5 weeks.
5 weeks. All right.
If that.
So if you're a Will Fuller owner, you're happy right now because he'll get at least 10 weeks with that 5 week call.
I traded for him everywhere this offseason.
All right. Well, you should
feel good.
Should be in good shape there. All right. We got to do some quick fire here. We're coming up on an hour. We'll go with the Titans. Ryan, what you got for the Titans?
Where's Derrick Henry finishing?
Number three.
Three overall.
Gurley one, I got Barkley two, I got Henry three.
Wow,
what a season last year, boys. I mean, that's all I got to say. From what he's done from 2016, this guy he's going up in yards, 300 yards plus per season. 500 in 2016, well, 490 to be exact. 744 in 2017, 1059 last year. I mean, you go on the incline. He's only gonna be better next year. So I got him number three next year.
All right. Number three overall is another hot take there. All right.
So hot.
Jags. What you got for the Jags, Ryan?
Who's their top receiver? I know who you want to say.
And who I'm going to say. Marquise Lee. He's back. My man is back. I got him in our Dynasty League. I'll keep it short. It was a trade that I made that everyone hated me for. And Marquise Lee that season showed signs of being a beast, and I think he will be that beast because you know why? Hey, Eagle fans, he's got your Super Bowl winning quarterback.
All right. All right. Moving on to the AFC North. And this is where we're going to finish it out. So I'm going to kick it off here with the Steelers to start. And this question is actually asked on social media during the show here. They want to know who the number two receiver is in Pittsburgh behind Juju. So options are James Washington, of course. Dante Moncrief is there. And the rookie Deontay Johnson. Who's your number two receiver in the Steelers' country there, Shane?
Absolutely none of those. It's Mr. Stiff Arm himself, Vance McDonald, guys. This guy had a hell of a season last year. His targets were up. Ben and him found the chemistry. He might be that guy that they needed, because outside of Juju, the receivers over there are not doing much. That's all I got to say. He had more targets than any other receiver last season on that team.
Except for Antonio Brown and Juju, right?
I'm not counting Antonio Brown, though.
All right, good stuff. All right, Ryan, what you got for the Browns?
Is Baker Mayfield living up to the hype? Is he a top five QB? Where is he finishing?
Absolutely. The only reason I say that is because he posed with a tiger in a Bentley shirtless, and my guy, Dwayne Haskins, bought a Bentley. So I'm going to call them the Bentley brothers, and I think Baker's going to have an incredible year next year, and my guy Haskins is as well. So Baker, I got him top five.
Top five.
Whoa. Haskins about a Bentley?
You didn't hear about that?
Yeah, I guess
no.
So.
No.
Wow.
He got mid first round money. He ain't got Bentley money yet.
He can get it on credit, just on his name alone.
Damn, okay. Wow.
I like how Shane bases his fantasy prediction on the fact that Baker Mayfield posed shirtless in front of a Bentley.
I mean, it's baller.
Hey, look, the Browns, I mean, their offense is going to be legit, guys. I mean, come on. This is literally an all-star offense. It's insane what they've done. I mean, it just is.
All right, let's move on to the Bengals. Let's jinx Mr. A.J. Green, who hasn't finished a season in the last two seasons. He plays how many games this year and finishes as a top what wide receiver?
I don't even think he's going to finish. I don't think he's going to be the best receiver on his team. He's on a decline. He's going to get hurt. John Ross is going to step it up a little bit, him last year on FanDuel, he was always that low salary guy that we needed on our teams. I think he's going to have a better year as well. I think this is where the Bengals are going to start going younger. I did mention that Mixon would be a bust. He's not. He's actually really good. And I think he'll be even better next year. So I think next year is going to be a terrible year for the Bengals. I got them 5-11 at best, maybe 4-12. But I think next year they're going to realize, like, it's time to go a little bit young. You know, they gotta think about rebuilding that team a little bit more.
All right.
They've got young talent already.
Two at a time.
All right, we're going to finish.
Hey, guys, it was a great show.
Oh, and no, no, don't even.
Oh, wait, we're missing a team.
All right, Ryan, we got the Ravens on deck here. What you got for the Ravens?
Dude, are you sure we didn't do them already?
I'm pretty sure we didn't do that. I'll save them for last just for this.
Who is their leading receiver this year? And please say the person who Jeff listed first in the notes. Let's go.
I'm going to leave it off like this. You don't draft a guy nicknamed Hollywood unless he is the main event. Hollywood Brown will be the best receiver out of the draft. He will live up to his nickname. He will be in the spotlight. Lamar to Hollywood.
All right.
I don't know if I want to hug you or hate you right now. But dang it.
All right. And just, hey, Ryan, just so you know, in our Dynasty League, you know, because Shane jinxes all his own players too, he actually owns like 5 first round picks. And I'm pretty sure that Marquise Brown is going to fall in one of his little picks there. He'll probably end up with him, just to let you know. So not only does he jinx him tonight by calling him out, but he'll probably jinx him by drafting him as well. So
the respect I have for 5 first round picks, though.
Yeah, he definitely made some moves. He had to. His team is pretty terrible, but he's got 5. He got, what do you have? 1, 3, 4, 5, and what, 7 or 8, I think.
9, I think.
Yeah,
maybe 7. I can't remember. Ooh. I've got so many I forgot.
Yeah, he made some moves this offseason.
I made some moves. It's time to trust the process there.
All right. All right, guys, that is a wrap for this show. Of course, we'll bring Shane on again towards the end of the off season, and we'll talk some more stuff once we get some more information on some of these guys. And of course, we'll bring him back next year to go over all these terrible calls that he just made once again and see how just how terrible they are. For Ryan, for Shane, I'm Jeff. Have a good night.
Peace.
See ya.